there by my side. Went down to the waterfront, black cat by my side. You know I tried to fool the blues now, baby. You know I can't run, I can't hide. Went down to the congregation.
From sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Tonight is free to watch night. We do that a couple of times each month to make sure that folks who are not members get a little taste of one of the things that is in the members community. And so it's free to watch tonight, and that means that all you have to do is go over to my website and click where it says watch. That'll do it. Just click where it says watch and you're good to go. And this will be a good night to watch. I've got some pretty good photographs we're going to be talking about, and I'll be describing them. I'll describe them for those who are listening, but if you get to see them, it's even more dramatic. So get over there and click where it says watch. Now, when you do, you're going to discover something our members already know about. And that is, you know, the video stream is distributed, is sent out via Justin TV. And Justin TV has started doing something. They did this I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, for a little while, and they had so many complaints, and so many people left Justin TV, that they stopped doing it. Well, they're doing it again, and that is, and I have no control over it, in the show, just at arbitrary points, they're going to break in and play an ad. I have no control over what ads, and I have no control over them doing that. We are looking for an alternative to Justin TV, and as soon as we find an acceptable one, we will change, as we did back then. That is also the reason we left the previous service that we were using. And there may be, there may not be, an acceptable alternative, but if we can find one, we will. And we're certainly not married to Justin TV and their ads. You know, I know they have to earn money, but they're doing pop-up ads at the bottom of the screen anyway, and they're getting paid for that. And they do a pre-roll ad at the beginning of every stream, every show, and it's, you know, video ad, and they're getting paid for that. And in my estimation, this is, number one, irritating, and two, it's just greed. That's what they do. But we'll get through that, and you'll still get to see and enjoy the show. We have something called the K-Files. It's a free newsletter, absolutely free. And all you have to do to get it is to subscribe and then to activate your subscription. Here's how it works. Go over to my website, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You're automatically going to get an email right then. And it has a link in it for you to click to activate your subscription. If you don't click it, you don't activate the subscription. If you do click it, it's activated and you get the K-Files. All right, we're going to step away for a short break and we'll be back right after this.
All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. And our discussion this evening probably has a few of you wondering. You looked at the website and it said that we would be discussing something called It's All About the Information. And so we shall. We will be discussing. It's all about the information. And here's where that comes from. In X-Men, there is a line that says, there's a war going on out there. It's all about the information. And it is. This show is 100% tonight. It has all been formulated based on emails that I got over the past several days, past two or three days. Now, one email said, so why aren't you wearing hats anymore? When you do wear a hat, you always wear a black hat now. What happened to that yellow hat you had? Well, the reason I haven't been wearing a hat is because I've been wearing headphones. And I can't wear a hat with the headphones. And I have been doing that because I've been using the studio mic instead of the clip-on mic, which I'm using tonight. And the reason is because the clip-on mic has, it's old, and it has gotten where it's not very reliable. But I've got things hooked up here this evening so that I can wear the yellow hat for you. And, you know, I've got several hats. I've got a brown gangster hat that was given to me by James Horak. It looks like a 1920s, roaring 20s gangster. And I haven't worn that one in a while. I need to wear that one just to keep things lively. I've got this one. I've got the black hat, you know, with the headband from Peru. I've got the fedora that's gray, you know, but you requested the yellow hat, so here it is. But it requires that I use, that I go back to the Tytac microphone. And that enables me to use the earbuds instead of the headphones. But I've got it hooked up, so if this microphone acts up, I just press a button like this, and it goes to the studio mic, and we'll just swing it around. So, we're good to go. And the topic, well, I got a couple of emails that were sort of similar, and the gist of them was that I very often talk about how disinformation makes its way into the whole thing about, you know, paranormal and UFOs. Not bad information, I mean mistaken information, but disinformation. And that I don't often give any examples of it. Well, you know, actually I do. I give some very specific examples of it very often, but I'm going to do that again tonight. And I'm going to show you so you can see for yourself. We're going to talk about the importance of the information, and in order to do that, I have to preface what I'm going to say. We're going to look at a particular picture of what is supposed to be. We're going to look at several pictures of things that are supposed to be buildings, ruins on the moon. And we're going to try and determine if they are or if they are not. And so what we're going to start with is we're going to start with a picture that I found on a website. Now, the website is on the screen. It's the last line down there. You can copy that down. Go check it out yourself. And what you're going to find is a whole bunch of pictures on that page. You'll have to scroll down and look for this one. You'll find a whole bunch of pictures on that page. And what really interested me about this picture, I can't tell much about this was that the description that's on the website is also on your screen here, and it says it's a superior image of one of the alien moon bases. It's undeniable. You can see perfect shapes, buildings, roads, and walls. This is one of the images that wasn't supposed to be seen by the public. Classified. Well, I gotta tell you what now. When I saw that, and I saw this. All right, now for those who are listening, what we are looking at looks like it could be in a crater. There is a somewhat circular, not a perfect circle. I mean, it's kind of wobbly, but kind of a circular wall around this, and there are buildings. And I mean, you can see buildings in this thing. And there is what looks like either a hole into the interior of the moon, or perhaps that is, it's black and white, so you can't really tell. It could be a reservoir with water in it. And this really, really caught my attention. So I went back to the first page. You know, I closed that picture and I went back and looked at the thumbnail again and read the description again. And I thought, my God, that's unbelievable. This is sensational. So I went back and I clicked on the picture and looked at the you know, full-size picture again. And I mean, it's crystal clear. And then I started noticing something. Outside that circle, that wall, it looks like farmland, especially in the lower left-hand corner. That looks like farmland down there. Lower right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, looks like farmland. So I examined the picture, the thumbnail picture with the description. I examined it again, and I noticed something. Do you notice it? What do you see in this thumbnail that you don't see in the full-size picture? What I saw was there is a white rectangle, which usually means there's some kind of writing in there. That's some kind of label. And that's on the thumbnail, but it's not in the full-size picture. So I was curious about that. You know me, when information goes missing, when the information the thumbnail, take that image and blow it up, zoom in on it, and I could read the tag in the lower right-hand corner. You'll be able to do it yourself. Go to that website, download that thumbnail. Now, it is a little bit, parts of it are a little bit hard for me to read. For instance, the first word is either CRINST, comma, which has no meaning to me, or it is OREAST, or east, which I would take to mean orientation east. There is a reason why I, at the bottom of your screen, I have typed out what I think those letters are up there. Some of them you can tell clearly what they are. But the reason I think it's CRINST, I'll explain in just a moment. But the label reads CRINST, comma, AE-673. I don't know what any of that means. And then TAKHZ-1 Suleiman, Iran. Half view of the site taken from an altitude of 1,659 meters on July 27, 1957. Or maybe it's 1952. It's hard to tell whether that's a 7 or a 2. But it's either 1957 or 1952. So whatever all of that means, we do know that it's in Iran and that it's an aerial photograph taken from 1,659 meters, which would be 4,500 feet, I guess, something like that, July the 27th, 1957 or 1952. It is most definitely not what the description says on the website. The description says this is a superior image of one of the alien moon bases. It is not. It is a hilltop in Iran, and all that construction is up there on top of that hill. That's what it is, and that's where it is, according to the tag that's in the lower right-hand corner. Now, you can go download this photograph, and you can zoom in on that tag and read it for yourself, and you will see that that's exactly what is there. Now, let's talk about, is it disinformation? I just noticed that some of you were not getting audio on that. I am sorry. I'll quickly go through this again. Some of you watching were not getting audio. We've had a big change in the software, and I noticed just now that on one of the feeds that there was no audio. So, but I think you got the gist. The gist of the thing is there's a thumbnail and on a website, and when you click on it, you get a very, very clear picture of what's supposed to be a leaked classified photograph of alien bases, an alien base on the moon. As it turns out, there is evidence right on the photograph, on the thumbnail of what that is, and what it is the top of a hill in Iran. And so I was saying that in order for this to be actual disinformation, there has to be somebody in the stream of the information that intentionally leaked this into the stream and said, this is a classified photograph of an alien base on the moon. Now, I don't think the webmaster, I really have no reason to suspect the webmaster did this intentionally. I think it's just a mistake. But in order for it to be disinformation, you have to have someone who intentionally put it into the stream, gave it to the webmaster with that information. So that could be the case. It could just be, you know, an accident that it showed up there. And either way, it's bad information. But let me now talk to you about the effect of that. You see, the effect of it is that now that you know it's on that web page, are you now suspicious of everything else on the web page? I bet you are. I checked some of the other photographs and they are genuine. But you see, the effect of disinformation or bad information, the effect of that is pretty easy to see. And that is that we, you and I, the public, tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Once we discover a mistake like that, or we discover, we tend to say, well, that's disinformation. Well, you don't know. You really don't know whether it's disinformation or just bad information. Disinformation was done with intent. But they do it, and they do it all the time, and they do it because they know our tendency is to throw the baby out with the bathwater when this happens. And so is it likely that this is disinformation? I can't even say that. I don't know. I can tell you it's bad information. I've shown you that. But your own tendency to throw the baby out with the bathwater can be seen in how you feel about that website. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Sky fires burn past the shades and gray. Sky soft invasion has begun. Night is light and amber glow. The cotton carpet lies below. Eager hands will feel the chill of this wondrous autumn thrill. On an Oscar flies burn and I smile just the day.
All right, welcome back. I told you we had some software changes. Things are a little weird. They're not all settled in yet. So as we went away for break, I was talking about the difference between disinformation and just bad information. Disinformation is intentional on somebody's part. But it's intentionally put into the stream. And bad information. Well, bad information is not intentional. It's just a natural hazard of the game. You just sometimes come up with bad information. Now, I think this is probably not, as I said, not disinformation from the standpoint of that webmaster. Probably not, because there's a lot of other good stuff on that page. But it does have the earmarks of disinformation now from on somebody's part. And I'll tell you why. The way this works is, you see, a disinformation campaign is for the purpose of getting you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what they want. That's what they're after. That's what they're trying to get. So they don't give you a disinformation piece that's done so well that it can never be unraveled. What they do is they take a fact, they wrap it up in something that looks pretty good, but that sooner or later is going to be uncovered as false. Because when it's uncovered as false, it is our tendency, yours and mine, to just throw everything out, throw the baby out with the bathwater. That tag, that white tag on the picture, uncovers this as not an alien base on the moon. And so I think it probably got into this stream somehow as disinformation. Somebody was able to get it into the stream and know that it was going to be uncovered. I don't know how long it's been on that page, but it is, as of tonight, uncovered as false. It's not on the moon at all. It's in Iran. All right, now, our tendency is to say, well, then I'm not going to trust anything on that page. Which would indicate to me that if this is disinformation that was slipped into this webmaster by some means, then he's got something on his page that's really hot that they want you to throw away. And so I would say that page is well worth examining in detail, which I intend to do more of. I looked at some of the other pictures and it's good stuff. But there's something on, if this is a disinformation campaign against this website, then there's something on that website they really don't want you to see, and they expect you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I would encourage you not to. I would encourage you to take that as motivation to check everything on that page. There's something there, I believe, that is too hot for them to handle. They don't want you to see it. Now, I could be wrong about that too. But that's what I think at this point. And so I would encourage you to check that website out and check it out carefully. I would suggest there's probably a lot of stuff on there. They don't care whether you know or not. But there's also a lot of stuff that maybe they don't want you to see. Now, I said it's all about the information. When I showed you that that picture was not as identified on the website in the description, it's not a classified, it may, I don't know, it might be, might have been a classified aerial photograph. I don't know that. But it certainly was not on the moon. It's in Iran. When I showed you that, you immediately probably thought to yourself, well, then why should I trust anything on that website? Now, I want you to notice a difference in how you feel about what's coming up. This is a picture of the moon, and it's a picture of the moon using Google Earth, and down there at the bottom are the coordinates. I will zoom in on that in just a moment, and you can write those coordinates down. You can go look at this yourself. You realize that these are photographs that are furnished by NASA and JAXA and ESA and so forth, right? Furnished to Google. Well, this looks like it could be a base. It looks more like the photographs we're used to seeing from the moon, a little blurry. And, you know, not high definition. NASA never gives you the best pictures. I don't care how good the picture is they give you, whether it's the moon or Titan or Mars or I don't care. Wherever it is, you're not going to get the best pictures. They'll release some that they say are high resolution. Well, they may have a picture that is of this that is a higher resolution now. They may now have it. And that they would release, that they would let you see, they may have it. But you can bet your bottom dollar they have the highest resolution and you're not going to see it. Okay, so they let us see some pretty good pictures sometimes. This one's not bad, it's a little blurry. And it looks like buildings down there on the moon. And that is on the moon. It's not in Iran. That one is on the moon. But it looks like it could be some buildings. Very organized. Looks planned. Gigantic complex. That's what it looks like. Now, we can't see a lot of detail, but we can see, you know, the general shapes. And we see a couple of circular shapes and we see a lot of rectangular and rectilinear shapes and sort of, not at the top of the picture, but you see the main rectangular area in the middle, right in the middle of your screen. Just above that, it looks like perhaps a multi-storied structure back there, two or three stories high. And it's long. And so, you know, you look at this and you say, wow, that could be some kind of base on the moon. And it might be. This really is a picture of the moon. It might be. It might, but, you know, we can't tell for sure. But now what I've done is zoomed in on the coordinates, and for those who are watching, and everybody could be, and everybody should be, because tonight is free to watch night. So there's no reason for you not to be watching. Just go over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says watch, and watch. So anyway, there are the coordinates. Write those down. I'll show them again later, but you should have had some time to write those down now. And I'll leave it up just for a few more seconds. Now that I'm showing you a picture that I'm telling you that is the moon, and we're looking at something that looks like it could be structures, and I'm showing you the coordinates now where you can go on Google Earth and put these coordinates in, you know, go to the moon and then put these coordinates in, and you can see it for yourself. So it's pretty well documented. I'm telling you where it is. I'm telling you how you can go see it for yourself. And you feel a lot different about this than you felt about learning that this very crystal, crisp, clear picture that we started out with actually turns out to be in Iran. Once you knew it was in Iran, you felt like, okay, well, that's it. I'm not going to trust anything from that website, which, as I've pointed out, I think is a mistake. I don't think you should take that attitude towards this. But now that I've shown you a picture of the moon and what looks like structures on the moon, and I've shown you the coordinates where you can go look at it yourself, you feel more confident that this is genuine. Now, that is genuine. But do you know how many people there are that will look at a picture like that, and it's got the coordinates down there, and it shows that it's from Google Earth, and you know, and they never check it? It's just as easy to slip disinformation into the stream that way. Make up a picture, make it look like it's on the moon, and make it look like it's from Google Earth, and put the coordinates down there so people will think, okay, well, that's got to be real. And they don't check it. How many times have you done that? How many times have you seen a picture like that and you just accepted that it was real? See, we'd like for life to be easy. Even in our computer age, when you just click a mouse, for crying out loud, you just click a mouse to go check stuff out. We don't want to do it. It's too much work. And so we don't double check these things. And you have to. You really have to, because there's a war out there. It's about the information. It's all about the information. I learned a saying from someone a long time ago. I can't even remember who I learned it from, but I know it's not original to me. But the saying went something like this: he who masters the language masters those who speak it. And that's almost correct. He who masters it and knows how to use it masters those who speak it. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are masters of two things: your language and masters of deception. And that's how the information war goes. Now, you can go check the Google Earth image. You've got the coordinates. I'll put them back up again in a little bit. So if you didn't get them written down, write them down. But you can go check it. However, you do see what I'm saying. It would be a simple thing for someone to dummy up a picture, put coordinates at the bottom, put the little Google logo on the side, make it all look officially right, and most people would accept it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Software all worked as it was supposed to that time. That's good. Welcome back. All right, we're talking about this problem with the information war. You know, if you know the language and you know how to say something, you know, they can imply something without saying it and then have plausible deniability. You see? And we've talked about how they can do disinformation and misdirection with the photographs. And I've shown you one that's clearly an error and talked about, you know, our response to that web page that it showed up on and why I think we should not have a negative response to that page. We ought to be curious about if it is disinformation, if it was purposely fed to that webmaster as disinformation. If it is, something on that page is important. They don't want you to pay attention to it, and they want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So it warrants close inspection, that page. We talked about the difference in our attitude about that, and having a photograph that shows, you know, it shows all the marks of being from Google Earth and has the coordinates down there where you can go look it up yourself. And people say, well, you know, that's got to be true. It does not have to be true. It most definitely does not have to be true. That could be a fake, too. It's not. But that one could, I mean, one like that could be faked up, too. And it's up to us to think. It is up to us to sort through this. And I have people all the time that say, well, how can we know? Well, you got to think. And you gotta do a few mouse clicks and search it out for yourself. So let me give you some homework. Are you ready? Here you go. This one is from Schrodinger Crater during the mission of Cassiopeia, the Cassiopeia probe in 2010. And it shows a building down in that crater that's in the shape of a swastika. Now, a lot of you have seen this. A lot of you have never seen this. This crater is located near the South Polar region on the moon. And here's your homework. Okay, the homework is you search it out. I know, but I'm not going to tell you. You search this out for yourself and determine, is this real or is this fake? Now, there are ways to do that, okay? For instance, if I wanted to search this out, I might do a search for images of Schrodinger crater or Cassiopeia probe photos. You see how that's done? It doesn't take a lot of brain power. it takes a little. And then you can search it out for yourself and determine if that's real or not. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because as technologically advanced countries become more gadgetized, we're allowing the information providers more access to what we think is true. Well, you know, it's in Wikipedia. It's got to be true. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? But that's the way people think. We become more gadgetized. We become less personally involved with our own intellect. You know how many kids never talk to their parents, and their parents have to talk to them by texting them? I actually saw advice on television. If you can't get your kids to talk to you, text them. Well, you know, there's another way. Take their damn phone away. They were born with a mouth and with ears. As we get more gadgetized, we become less personally involved with our own intellect in everything around us. And so the information providers have an open highway right to your mind and to what you think is real. Well, the Cassiopeia probe picture that I put up shows this big complex down in a crater, and it's in the shape of a swastika. Is that real or is that fake? Well, you can use gadgets to find out. You can use the internet to find out. But it's what you want, probably, you want for me to just tell you. Well, if you know, Smith, why don't you just say it? Because I don't want to. I want you to do the intellectual exercise to find out. Now, why is that? Well, for a number of reasons. It's good for you. But here's a real good one. I get calls during the week from listeners. You know, I talk to listeners during the week. And, you know, during daytime hours. In fact, I talked with one the other night till 3 o'clock in the morning. But I get calls, and if I'm in the studio and the phone rings, I answer it. You call and I didn't answer, I wasn't here. Okay, so I got a call, had a conversation with someone who mentioned having been at a conference and hearing some particular information that I have to tell you was pretty much out there, but that's okay. I mean, we deal with out there information all the time. And just because it's out there doesn't mean that it's wrong or that it's false. I mean, sometimes the truth is just fabulously fantastic, you see. So, pardon me. But it was followed up. The caller told me this information. I said, well, what do you think about that? And the caller said, it seems pretty outlandish, but it was so-and-so who said it. Folks, one of the worst things that can happen is for you to adopt gurus in this genre of information. And that includes me. I'm not your guru. I'm not God. Okay? I check stuff real carefully, but do I make mistakes? Yeah, I'm just like anybody else. I can make mistakes. I check stuff real carefully, but is it possible some disinformation could slip by me that I just, even though I checked it, I didn't catch something? Is that possible? Well, of course that's possible. And any host, any author, any conference speaker that gives the impression that they are the fountain of truth is someone you need to run from. And now, this particular person, they don't all set themselves up as the fountain of truth. You know, they most don't. This particular person does. And this particular person has been on my show years ago and never again, and never will be again. And but is a big name. Now, I will get email from people who say, well, come on, give us the name because, you know, we need to know who to trust and who not. No, you don't. Not from me, you don't. You need to use your own mind. You need to use your own mind and test what they say. And if they're one of these people that, if you oppose what they say, if you say, well, I don't see it that way, I see it this way, and they get ticked, they get upset just because you have a different opinion, run. Because you're hearing more ego and hot gas than fact. This war with the information, you know, we see it a lot here in the UFO genre and in the paranormal genre. We see it a lot, but it's happening all around you in every area of your life. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are just now tuning in, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. We've been talking about the information war, and I've shown some graphic examples of real as opposed to not real information that's disguised as real. And, you know, this information war is happening all the way around you in every aspect of your life. So you take what I've shown here in the first hour and what I've discussed and multiply that all the way around you, 360 degrees, you're being bombarded with fake, false disinformation in every aspect of your life. That doesn't mean all information is false, but you're getting bombarded with false information every day in every aspect of your life. And so long as you stay gadgeted up and you don't go examine and check and research, you are a victim. We're going to open up the telephone lines, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we invite you, I invite you, you have a personal invitation from me to join this conversation. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I have a habit of thinking while I'm working.
Okay.
Terrible habit.
Okay.
But I'll give you a slight twist on this.
All right.
I have one brother who is not dyed in the wool, but he's a religious convert.
Okay.
Now, I look at it this way. If you're going to give your responsibility to think to somebody else and accept what they say as the gospel or the truth or what have you, then you're not taking responsibility for your own conscience.
Okay. Conscience, but now let me ask you a question. Are you implying that if a person is religious, that they've given up their own responsibility for thinking for themselves?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that if they do not question, do not think things through for themselves, they will have given it up.
Well, that's true. Sometimes it happens, though. Look, that's true in any religion, and that includes the UFO religion. And you've heard me rant about people that have turned this into a religion as well.
And science, yeah.
And science. People have a tendency to do that, to turn things into religion that really are not, but they turn it into religion. All right, so sometimes, though, Brent, this happens because even though they think about it and they do research, they don't know really how or what to research. For instance, with religion, any religion, you can either study, for instance, with Christianity, what did the church fathers of our denomination, what did they say about this? Well, okay, then you're going to come out with their answer. Or what you can do is go to the what's supposed to be the foundational text, the ancient document that it all rests on.
The original texts.
Yeah, and see what do they say about it. And then if the church fathers said the same thing, cool. If they didn't, then you got to decide, well, who's right and who's wrong? Are the church fathers right, or is the Bible right? And
that's right.
But this would be true with the Quran and Islam. This would be true with the five pillars of Buddhism. This would be true with every religion. You got to go to the foundational documents and see for yourself. But that's true. See, that's true with UFO information. That's true with paranormal information. You got to get down to the roots. You got to get down in the dirt.
That's why when I was ranting about someone once, I said, I don't want you quoting articles. I want the article itself and their sources.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I quote articles, but if you were to tell me, well, I want the article and their sources, I'll give you the link and you can go dig it up.
Yeah.
You know, just like I put the link up for that website. Not to say anything bad at all about that website. In fact, I think it's pretty cool, and I'm going hunting on that website to find out what it is that somebody would want to do a disinformation campaign on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the case there. I could be wrong, but I think that's the case. I think somebody did a number on that website, and there's a reason. I want to find it.
Kevin, you're too much of a cop.
Well, you know what? It's not about being a cop. It's about being...
wanting the answers.
Yeah, it's about being curious. And mm-hmm. I want to know the truth. Yeah.
Well, that's all I have for tonight.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah. 623-444-5889. And I'd love to hear from you. Look, it's as he mentioned, you know, he said, Kevin, you're too much of a cop. Well, you know, cops get trained to be curious and to have questions and to notice when things go missing. And then they get paid to look for them. Well, nobody's going to pay you to look for the answers and to look for the truth. Nobody's going to pay you, but I can guarantee you this. If you don't search it out and find the facts and the truth yourself, the price you will pay for believing untruth is very, very high. Very high. We have a problem in when we talk about UFOs and we talk about paranormal things. We've got a huge problem, and that is that it is multi-layered, multi-dimensional information, and you don't live that way. You don't experience life that way. It's in a matrix, but you experience life like a flat sheet of paper, two-dimensional. And so it's very, very difficult to even see what are the questions sometimes. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
You know, one thing I think you'll notice if anybody who's paid attention to the phone calls, the calls in that I'll make, they generally follow a theme. I talk about the trivium, or I talk about grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and if I don't overtly talk about it, I certainly use those tools whenever I call in and respond to a guest or a subject that's ongoing. And there's a reason for that, because those are the fundamental tools that we have to deploy anytime we want to engage in independent thought. You know, we have to know, first of all, our grammar. And grammar, people think that grammar, well, that's how you construct a sentence. Well, in the classic learning model, grammar is basic information. Just mm-hmm. Basic information is what grammar is. And you first of all have to get your grammar right. And people who present information, that's pretty easy to research usually. You can look up information and see if they're telling you the truth or not. You know, somebody tells me the sun's going to rise in the west tomorrow, well, that's pretty easy to research. Or they'll say it rose in the west yesterday or whatever. You know, that's easy to see. Other things you may have to work just a little harder for, but it's still something that you generally have a life experience that you can refer it to and verify it or not. Now, logic is the second step, and logic is the skill of deciding whether something is true or false, whether it fits with what's real or what's not real. And you have to be careful with logic because we oftentimes will use as a reference our own limited paradigm, you know, our own limited programming that we've been handed. And in public schooling, one of the things they train you to do is to be a passive receiver of information from an expert. You know, the expert is the teacher who stands in front of you, or the author of the textbook that you've been assigned to read. And your job is to assimilate whatever it is they give you and give it back. Show that you got it. You know, well, oftentimes the information that you're giving is a total fiction. You know, it's all wrong, entirely wrong. You know, but if you want to be successful in school, you're going to successfully receive it and give it back. And the training is to just sit down and receive what an expert gives you and let it go at that. You know, let that be your arsenal of truth. And that is an insidious thing. You know, that first picture that you showed us where the caption underneath said undeniable. Mm-hmm. As soon as I see that, my short hairs go up on the back of my neck. You know, if somebody tells me something is undeniable, you know, that's, you know, everything's deniable. You know, everything's deniable. And then when you panned out or closed in, I could see the farmland. You know, anybody who has flown at all over expanses of territory, you can spot farmland. You know what farmland is.
Sure.
And that's clearly farmland. So that's basic grammar, you know, grammar. My grammar of that farmland comes from a reference of having flown and looking out the windows of the aircraft and seeing farmland. And I know that's farmland, you know. So for someone to try to tell me that that's the moon, well, you know, unless there's a lot of farmland up there, and I don't think there is, then that blows it away right away. And then when they follow that up with, oh, this is undeniable, then, you know, that's just so obviously bogus. You know, it's laughable.
Well, that's true. But let me illustrate very quickly a problem that we haven't addressed. And that is, and is part of that grammar you're talking about. Information has a position. Just as each word in a sentence has a position, and its position determines its function. Now, on those who are watching, I'm holding up a battery. It's a little 9-volt battery, like used to go in transistor radios. On the end of this battery, you have a positive and a negative. You got two posts. Now, information has a position. So I'm holding this up to the camera so that you're looking right dead on to the post. And that's the way we experience most information. The problem is that when we get to information that's esoteric, like about the moon, or information about UFOs and information about extraterrestrials, that sort of thing, that information is not positioned straight on to us. It's positioned more to the side. So we can see either the negative or we can see the positive. We don't see them both. And if I'm showing you the negative side, or what is that? I can't even tell. That's the positive. I'm showing you the positive side. you don't see the negative, because the negative is dimensionally further back, away from you. You can't see it. And so information about UFOs and paranormal and extraterrestrials and, you know, that sort of information is very, very seldom straight on 2D information. It's that information is strung out back through a matrix, and we don't see anything except what's right up front on our sheet of paper. And so a lot of times that's part of what you run into when you try to determine what is the truth. It can be difficult. And this is why, if all I could see was just one side of the battery, if all I could see was the positive side of the battery, I can assume there's a negative side, but that might not be true. This could be a trick. This could have been cut in half, and I'm only showing you the half that looks whole. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Kevin, and that's why, you know, I can't emphasize enough that people must learn grammar, logic, and rhetoric. They've got to build up, number one, their knowledge base. Number two, they've got to get themselves skilled in the use of logic, and then they have to learn to recognize bad rhetoric when they hear it, because that's a third component. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you communicate what you're going to communicate? And when we live in such a controlled environment where all the information is spun so ridiculously and so controlled and contrived, you know, it is so important. You know, I remember back in the day, Kevin, and you're old enough to remember too, back in the Cold War days, we used to joke about how in Russia, well, even the Russians joked about this. They had two major newspapers. They had TASS and Pravda. And TASS meant truth, Pravda meant news, and the joke was there's no TASS in Pravda and no Pravda in TASS. In other words, there's no truth in the news, and there's no news in the truth, you know, because everything was so spun and so controlled, even the citizens there that had to act like they were buying into it, they could see through it too.
Sure.
Well, we're now in that same boat. You know, everything comes through such a ridiculous filter that's meant to keep us closed up in a tight little box, you know, that we're not supposed to think outside of, you know, that the only way out of it is to learn to think, you know, perfect your grammar, learn logic, and recognize bad rhetoric when it stares you right in the face. You know, it's not just in this genre, but like you said, Kevin, in every aspect, don't trust the experts. Don't trust the white coat guys, you know, don't trust them, you know, because they're the purveyors of the spin. You know, they're the keepers of the table, and they're the ones who are most heavily invested in their audience or their people or whoever they're trying to address or control. They're the ones who are the most invested in people remaining controlled, and so their job is to keep us that way. And
you
can't verify it, and
I,
if it doesn't
I would
stand
trust
up
experts.
Under logic, and if the linguistic is wrong, then you got to break free of it.
I would trust experts enough to hear them out. I want to hear what they say, because sometimes they're telling you the absolute truth. Very often, though, they're giving you spin. But I'll trust them enough to hear them out, to read what they write, to hear what they say, but then I'm going to check it myself. And I'm going to determine whether I think they told me the truth or not.
Exactly right.
You know, but for instance, back to the battery. An expert holds it up, and he holds it up to the side, so all you can see is one post. And he says, all batteries like this have a positive and a negative. Well, I'll trust him enough to hear that, but not enough to believe that battery has a positive and a negative. I want to see both posts. Then I know it's got a positive and a negative.
Yep, that's, that's the test we've all got to put things to, Kevin, and I just can't emphasize it enough. I just can't.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate the call. As always, interesting thoughts.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye-bye. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889 is the number to call and join the conversation. Folks, there is an information war going on. Now, Steve highlighted why that war is going on. It is control. See, they who control the information can control a population. Not everybody buys the spin, but most people do, because most people are gadgeted up. I see the ads on television for all these smartphones where you can learn anything with this device. Look what it can do for you. And they show you, you know, taking college courses. They show you checking things out, you know, information out on the internet. Yeah, that's one source. In fact, on the internet, there are many, many sources of information, and you should check as many of them as you can stand. But there are other sources. If we had believed the experts, and most of the population did believe the experts, but had we continued to believe the experts, no one would have ever found and excavated Troy. Wouldn't have happened. It took a guy who said, you know, all the experts say it's all fiction, it's myth. I'm going to see for myself. I'm going to check for myself. And so he took that alleged mythical account of the Trojan Wars, and he followed exactly the route that was set out in that myth. And when he got ashore, he got his shovel out and he dug up Troy, just like the mythical account said. Now, does that mean that all ancient accounts are true? No. The ancients wrote fiction too, you know. They had drama too. But it also means that when something is fantastic or sounds fantastic, that doesn't mean it's mythological automatically. It doesn't automatically mean it's fiction. And the only way to know is to check. Well, he did. And today you can go there and walk the streets of Troy. It's been excavated, still being excavated, I think. This information war is very, very evident in our genre, but it is hitting you 360 degrees. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about the information war. And I have shown you examples here tonight of how that war is being waged against you in this genre. The webmaster of that site that has the picture that you see beside me, I'm not saying that this webmaster had any evil intent. I'm not saying that this webmaster has done disinformation. What I am saying is that this information is not correct. That's all I'm saying. But this happens, I mean, it's got the earmarks of having been done on purpose, but from looking at that web page, I don't get the impression that the webmaster did it on purpose. Could be, but I don't think so. The impression that I get is that somebody slipped this in, showed him an exciting photograph, and said, "It's classified, that is on the moon." When a little bit of investigation here shows that, in fact, it's in Iran. It's a hilltop in Iran. So this information, I mean, you know, I've said this information war is being waged against you. It is being waged against you every day. On the television, or if you're watching videos and they play the ads, you know, on your phone or on the computer, they play the ads. You know, the pharmaceutical industry does lots and lots of advertising. Have you ever listened to the disclaimers on their ads? You know, basically, if you take this, it's probably going to rot your brains out. It'll kill you. It's going to turn your head into a giant pimple. So ask your doctor before you use it. And then doctors prescribe it. Now, they do the disclaimer at the end of the ad. But all during the ad, they're showing you a little drama, or sometimes a real testimonial where somebody says, "I took it and it did wonders for me, you know. I was dead three times over and it raised me from the dead." And, you know, it's snake oil. But it's impressive. And so people go and ask their doctors for it, and the doctors give it to them. And then you come back 2 years, 3 years down the road. You come back to that product and do a little research, and you find out there's been a recall and there's this class action lawsuit for, you know, people having all kinds of things that they weren't warned about as a result of using that medicine. And then, millions of dollars get paid out in this settlement. Multiple millions of dollars get paid out in the settlement. What is that? Well, it's the information war up front, convincing people that, yeah, all this stuff could happen to you, but boy, this guy on the screen, it did wonders for him. And it'll probably, they imply, it'll probably do those wonders for you too. You know? And you find out, you know, a whole bunch of people took it and their left arm fell off. You know? It's the information war. It's happening to you with your water. It's happening to you with your food. It's happening to you in your politics with every tick of the clock. It's happening all day, every day. You're being bombarded in this information war. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in. what you're talking about now with all the crap on television about drugs and stuff, it is unbelievable when you come to the disclaimer at the end of the commercial.
Yeah.
Like you just said, don't people see that?
Well, yeah, they do. But look, people who are ill and who are chronically ill, and this happens very, very often, can feel desperate. And so they watch the little drama that's going on in the ad, and everything's just coming up roses in that drama, and they're hoping they'll be the exception instead of the disclaimer. They're hoping everything will go good for them because they want relief. And that's how the snake oil salesman used to get away with it.
Well, I do get all that because I am one of those. I have pain 24/7. Mm-hmm. I have a herniated disc, two bulging discs above that, nerve damage in my left leg. So my pain never stops. So when it comes to certain pain medications, when my doctor recommends a certain, I can't remember one right now, but
yeah, don't name any names of drugs here. I don't want to be hauled into court.
I can't remember anything right now anyway. But after seeing, already seeing those commercials on that particular drug, or a couple of them, and I said no, I don't want that. Well, what do you mean you don't want that? Well, I just don't like the after effects or possible side effects.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I too, you know, I'm also 24/7 in pain. I'm in pain right now, and I don't take medications. One thing about pain is it absolutely proves to me I'm still here. I'm in pain all the time. I've been injured a whole bunch in my career, and I got lots of stuff that hurts. And so I can understand how somebody can think, man, you know, that would, if I could get rid of this pain. And the thing is, a lot of times those drugs will do it, but the side effects are so devastating. You know, that it's worse than the pain.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But it's, see, all of this is information warfare. All of it. That's what advertising is about. That's what political speeches are about.
I understand. I don't understand how, I do understand how the drug companies get away with doing this stuff on TV because they're making money.
Yeah.
And how
that's
are
right.
they going to make money if you get better?
Well, they also get away with it because of huge, huge, huge payoffs to politicians and political
mm-hmm.
parties. And they get away, that's called lobbyists. They get away with it because they're paying tons of money to radio and television stations to carry the ads. And they make so much money that they can pay all of that, looks like bribe money to me. I mean, it's probably technically not bribe money, but it looks like it. They can do all of that, pay all those millions of dollars for advertising, and still have pay out millions and millions of dollars in settlements and still make a profit on that drug.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Speaking for myself, if I wasn't taking medication, I probably couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to take medication, but fortunately, I was taking... at the end, I was up to 240 milligrams of.
Don't tell me. Yeah, don't tell me the name of it.
No, just morphine.
Yeah.
When
it's actually needed medically, there's nothing wrong with that. But just a whole lot of stuff. that gets pushed and doctors prescribe, a whole lot of that stuff is not actually needed by the person. You know, I could qualify. If I went into a doctor and a pain management doctor, I could qualify for the drugs. I could qualify for it medically. But right. It's just my personal decision. If I can still move and I can, if I can still dance and I can, it hurts, but I can do it, and I can do it where it doesn't look like I hurt. As long as I can make it without the drugs, I'm going to. And but here's the deal. The deal is not about my personal decision there. The deal is about the information that's fed to me ahead of time. The deal is we are in an information war, and we're getting bombarded with bad information wrapped up with a few things that are good all the time. It's disinformation, and it's happening. You know, I just mentioned the pharmaceuticals, but it's also it's happening. Let me give you an example of some information that a lot of people, they'd think, well, so what? That's why I'm going to give it to you, because it really doesn't make any big difference. All right. How many times have you heard any kind of, you know, country music or rock music or pop music, and you've heard the artist introduced, you know, Billboard chart topper, you know? Well, see, Billboard only charts how many CDs you sold. So you could be number one on Billboard and be like number 50 in terms of being played on the radio.
Right, right.
Okay, so it's a spin on the information. You know, the guy that's getting played the most on the radio, or the gal, may not even be on the Billboard charts, because they may not even be offering a CD. Okay? Now, the same kind of thing happens in politics. The same kind of thing happens when they talk to you about food and you know, they talk about, well, this is whole wheat. Yeah, but is it genetically modified wheat?
There you go.
Okay.
There
See,
you go.
We're in this information war, and we are becoming victims of it because we're gadgetized, and we don't personally get involved in finding out the facts.
My question is always, every time I see this stuff on TV, is what the hell are they doing commercials for drugs for?
For drugs?
We don't know anything about drugs. We're not doctors.
Well, the deal is,
you know, if the candy store would be in trouble.
Well, see, the deal is they do the little drama to make everyone who has certain symptoms aware of the drug. And then the commercial always says, so talk to your doctor. So they go in and ask for that drug.
No, I don't ask my doctor for any drugs.
Well, believe me, millions of people do.
Like a regular doctor.
Believe me, millions of people do go in and ask for the drugs. Yeah. Hey, Tony, I got to run, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889. You are in a whirlwind of information. And it's hitting you 24 hours a day. Caller, can you hang on through this break?
I can.
All right, you hang on, and we'll be back to you right after this break.
City streets, they lit up
in their orange tinted rose. To my heart, ooh, to my flesh, to my weary soul, oh, they speak to me. And I know you're everywhere, and I hear you speak my name, and I know you're calling me down these dreams until I get to where you are. And she was destiny, she was everything to me.
Well, the software surprised me again. To our affiliate stations, that break ended too soon, and I don't know why. But there you go. We'll try to get all of that straight. We're talking about the information war, and we have a caller on hold, so let's go to the caller. And we are now on final approach, folks, just a few minutes left in tonight's show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John from that warm state of Arizona.
John from Arizona. John,
yeah.
I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that at midnight last night in Mesa, Arizona, which is somewhere near where you are, the temperature...
I'm in Mesa, actually.
Well, I heard the temperature was 109 in Mesa at midnight.
Well, it wasn't quite that last night at midnight, but it was still right around 100 degrees last night at midnight, yeah.
Well, another reason I'm glad I left the Phoenix area.
Well, every time I look at, I listen to you on the show and it was a warm day, I think of you and wonder, why am I still here?
Well, listen, and there are times of the year when it's paradise there, but that's about 3 or 4 days, and the rest of the time you're living in the northern suburbs of hell.
Oh yes, no problem, no argument there.
Yeah, what's on your mind, John?
Well, you got talking about how Big Pharma misleads you, and I just had a personal story I'd add to that. They don't just sell you the drugs at an exorbitant price, but they go to Congress and they say, hey, you know, we've got this drug, you know, it's a great painkiller, and but we know that it's addictive and we want to make sure that we protect the kid, so let us put this additive in so that if they take too much, they'll throw it up. And everybody's going, oh, what a great idea. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they put this additive in, not thinking it through, because many people who are on pain management, and anyone who's been on pain, know that they constantly need a larger dose to accomplish the same pain relief. And once they get more than a certain amount, then this other drug they put in the painkiller makes them throw it up. So what happens? The drug company comes out with another drug they have to buy to counter that drug they added to the painkiller to throw it up. So they're just, you know, doubling the money that they gain.
Yeah. But let's stay, you're exactly right. But let's focus this back on the information war. Did, in their ads, did they say, well, after you take this for about 6 months, you're going to have to be using so much of it that it's going to make you throw up? No, they probably didn't do that. No, they didn't do that. It's the information war. So sometimes it's information they give you that's got to spin, or sometimes it's the information they don't give you that is the problem. And
well, there's information that they purposely hide.
Well, that happens too. You know, the cigarette industry absolutely lied. The tobacco industry absolutely lied about cigarettes and their health hazards for years. And you know, I watched an old Charlie Chan movie. You remember the Charlie Chan movies?
Oh yeah, I remember Charlie Chan Saturday morning.
No. Yeah, well, I watched an old Charlie Chan movie the other night while I was waiting for some video to process. And, you know, while it's processing, there's nothing I can do on that computer, so I pick up the laptop and I watch Charlie Chan. In this movie, a girl starts feeling ill, and immediately somebody in the crowd says, well, here, have a cigarette. So she takes it. She's feeling ill, right? So they offer her a cigarette. She takes a cigarette, takes a puff, and she says, oh, I feel much better. Bam, she falls over dead.
Yep.
And then a guy in the movie, the same thing happened to him. They offer him the cigarette. He takes a puff on the cigarette. Bam! But, you know, he was feeling ill. Here, have a cigarette. Oh, yeah, I feel much better. And then he's dead. And in the movie, as it happens, a strange, exotic poison that was non-detectable had been introduced to them that was activated when you smoke a cigarette.
Okay,
that was the plot of the movie. But the deal was, you had the cigarette thing being, you know, this will make you feel better. Subliminally saying to the crowd, smoke cigarettes.
Right, and that was, and it sounds funny to us now, but during the time, you know, you had the Marlboro Man, and I mean, you look better if you had a cigarette in your hand.
And Winston tastes good, like
feel better.
Winston tastes good, like what?
Cigarette should.
Everybody still remembers that, and that ad hasn't been out there for 50 years.
30 years at least.
Something, yeah. But see, that's information, and the information war is not new. It's just gone high tech now. And my point in tonight's show is to show in our genre concrete evidence of information warfare in our genre. But then to say, look, folks, this is happening to you in every area of your life, and the more gadgetized you are, the more likely you are to be a victim. Now, getting rid of the gadgets won't unvictimize you. That's not it. I mean, I don't have a cell phone because I don't like them. I don't want one. But I mean,
well, I have minimal services on mine. So I don't figure I need all the extra garbage.
Yeah, but you know, the point is, I'm not. I don't carry a cell phone, but good Lord, I am gadgetized. I've got computers everywhere. And, you know, and I have to have them. So getting rid of the gadgets doesn't get rid of the information war. It's still going on. You turn your TV on, you're going to get hit. You turn your radio on.
I get people who call me all the time and go, well, why didn't you answer your phone? I said, well, it was in the other room. And they go, well, get the cell phone, right? I said, yeah, well, we're not inseparably connected.
Yeah, but
there's a service on that cell phone that says leave a message.
But just getting rid of gadgets would not get rid of the information war. Because you still got your TV, you still got radio, you still got newspapers right. some people read, you got magazines that some people read, and then you're associated with people who still have the gadgets. And so they're telling you information they got from the gadgets. It's around you. You're in a cesspool of information. There's no way to escape the information war. But there is a way to win it. And that is to become personally involved intellectually in knowing rather than believing.
And doing the research like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You don't take it at face value. You find sources that you can trust most of the time and use them.
Yeah. Absolutely true. John, I got to run, man. Thanks for the call.
You betcha.
All right. All right, folks. I have on the screen, that picture is back up with those coordinates. If you didn't copy them down, copy them now, but copy them fast because I have another picture I need to put up. Folks, the point of the show is that it's not about believing. It's about knowing. And see, on this show, I've been accused by people smoking left-handed cigarettes who absolutely do not know what they're talking about. I have been accused, even on my Facebook page, of, you know, well, Smith doesn't care anything about the truth. He's a disinformation agent. Well, I'm not even going to defend myself from that. I mean, that's somebody smoking dope. But the point my statement is, looking for the truth is all we do. We have to deal with a whole lot of information. And some of it turns out to not be true. We have to deal with a lot of it and test it against this, that, and the other thing and ask questions about it in order to find out what is the truth. What they're talking about is, I don't come on the air as the truth guru and say, this is it. And I never will. Not about UFO stuff. Not about paranormal stuff. Because that's a matrix of information. Truth. It's not about belief. It's about fact and knowing. And you got to get involved in getting the facts. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.